BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. Trust you enjoyed, were challenged by the message that aired on Friday with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, a panoramic prophetic perspective. A number of people had been contacting our offices for CDs and DVDs, and those will be duplicated here in short order and get those turned around to you. And trust you'll be able to share that message with others. If you missed being able to get in on the switchboard, you can do so either by calling 800-729-9829 or online at vcyamerica.org. Well, today we're going to transition to the breaking news that came on Friday with President Trump's battle with COVID. As you know, he announced that both he and his wife, the First Lady Melania Trump, had tested positive for coronavirus. This morning, we had Mark Meadows, the chief of staff for the president, saying that he is optimistic that the president would return to the White House today after spending several days at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center being treated for the coronavirus. He said that President Trump's health was improved overnight. The president's ready to get back to a normal working schedule. And also, he indicated that he spoke to the president this morning and continued to improve overnight. He's meeting with his doctors this morning to make further assessments of that progress. And indeed, just moments ago, the word came forth in a tweet that went out from the president that he is being discharged. This evening, he will be discharged from Walter Reed Military Medical Center. This evening, we'll be returning to the White House. Here's what he said, quote, "I will be leaving the great Walter Reed Medical Center today at 6:30 p.m. Feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID," he wrote in his Twitter account. He said, "Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We have developed under the Trump administration some really great drugs and knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago." So I'm confident we're going to be hearing more from him on in this regard. Mark Meadows said his treatment has been remarkable. His strength has been incredible. And he has received doses of remdesivir. This is an antiviral drug approved by the FDA. And in another video that he posted to Twitter Saturday night, he said, "If you look at the therapeutics which I'm taking right now, some of them and others that are coming out soon, they're looking like, frankly, they're miracles," President Trump posted in a video. First Lady Melania Trump today as well said she is feeling good and continuing to rest after testing positive for the coronavirus, saying, "My family is grateful for all of your prayers and support." And she continued in her tweet saying, "I'm feeling good. We'll continue to rest at home," and saying thank you to medical staff and caretakers everywhere and my continued prayers for those who are ill or who have a family member impacted by the virus. And this is a tweet that she sent out as well. Well, Nancy Pelosi scolded President Trump for testing positive for COVID-19, suggesting Friday morning that President Trump was virtually asking to be infected after not wearing his mask and speaking to large crowds. Just wondering if there are those who have contracted the virus who have worn masks. Well, Nancy Pelosi, here's what she had to say.
Well, of course, as with everyone, we all receive that news with great sadness. I always pray for the president and his family that they're safe. I continue to do so more intensified. And I know that he'll have the best of care. And that's what we want for everyone in our country. I hope this will be a moment where people will understand that what we have in our heroes bill and have had in our conversations over and over is we must have testing, tracing, treatment. We must have spatial distancing. We must be wearing our masks. We must have sanitation because it can help crush the virus and stop the spread. So maybe now that people who see the President of the United States with all the protection that he has and the First Lady still having this exposure, it might be as you say, a learning experience. But more than learning, it has to be something that is acted upon. This is tragic. It's very sad. But it also is something that going into crowds, unmasked and all the rest, was sort of a brazen invitation for something like this to happen. Sad that it did. But nonetheless hopeful that it will be a transition to a saner approach to what this virus is all about.
Okay, so here she is scolding the president, but isn't this the same individual that was caught by security camera in a hair salon getting her hair done without a mask and in violation of that salon even being open? Just had to ask the question. That was Nancy Pelosi on MSNBC. Well, the Daily Wire reporting that the White House released photos Saturday night showing President Trump working hard while being confined to Walter Reed Medical Center. And Ben Williamson, the White House security communications advisor, tweeted out one of the photographs saying the guy's a machine at Real Donald Trump getting work in at Walter Reed. Judd Deere, deputy assistant to the president, shared another photograph on Twitter, writing, quote, "The man never stops working." Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said on Saturday that he had a positive phone call with the president. He said, "Just had another great call with at POTUS. He sounds well. He says he's feeling good. We talked about the people's business, fighting the pandemic, confirming Judge Barrett, and strengthening the economy for American families. Let's keep our president and first lady in our prayers." And we do echo the call for prayer for the president, the first lady, others in the administration as well that have been impacted, and senators and people all over the country, too, with coronavirus. Newsmax reporting President Trump Sunday afternoon made a surprise visit to supporters who had been gathered outside Walter Reed Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland, riding in his presidential motorcade, waving while wearing his mask. He tweeted out a photo announcing his visit a video announcing his visit about 10 minutes prior to that. Here's what he had to say in brief.
"We're getting great reports from the doctors. This is an incredible hospital, Walter Reed. The work they do is just absolutely amazing, and I want to thank them all, the nurses, the doctors, everybody here. I've also gotten to meet some of the soldiers and the first responders, and what a group. I also think we're going to pay a little surprise to some of the great patriots that we have out on the street. And they've been out there for a long time, and they've got Trump flags, and they love our country. So I'm not telling anybody but you, but I'm about to make a little surprise visit. So perhaps I'll get there before you get to see me. But I just, when I look at the enthusiasm, and we have enthusiasm like probably nobody's ever had. Our people that love the job we're doing, we have more enthusiasm than maybe anybody. So it's been a very interesting journey. I learned a lot about COVID. I learned it by really going to school. This is the real school. This isn't the let's read the book school. And I get it, and I understand it. And it's a very interesting thing, and I'm going to be letting you know about it. In the meantime, we love the USA, and we love what's happening. Thank you."
Yeah, so here he is now out on the motorcade, and you hear the crowd along the streets, his well-wishers. Well, some in the medical community called it irresponsible. Dr. James P. Phillips, the chief of disaster medicine at George Washington University Department of Emergency Medicine and an attending physician at Walter Reed, tweeted out saying every single person in the vehicle during that completely unnecessary presidential drive-by just now has to be quarantined for 14 days. They might get sick, he put out. That presidential SUV is not only bulletproof, but sealed against chemical attack, we understand as well. Well, what's interesting is that, as the president said, he's learned a lot about COVID. They said that there were precautions that were taken. He declined, this is White House spokesman Judd Deere, talking about the precautions. Let's see here. This is coming from Daily Wire. Left-wing media figures took to Twitter Sunday afternoon following the presidential trip around Walter Reed Center and on a short drive. Washington Post blogger Jennifer Rubin, who called for the Maryland Attorney General to indict Trump for reckless endangerment and assault, Rubin suggested that the president needed to be immediately removed from power through the 25th Amendment and claimed that the GOP was a death cult and not a pro-life party. Also claimed that Trump was willing to infect his supporters even though the windows were not rolled down on the SUV that was carrying the president. CBS News reporter David Begnaud complained that Trump appeared to not wear the correct type of mask. Well, White House physician Sean Conley gave additional details on Sunday about the president's overall health condition. He said, since we spoke last, the president has continued to improve. As with any illness, there are frequent ups and downs. Over the course of his illness, the president has experienced two episodes of transient drops in the oxygen oxygen saturation. But medical experts did give the president the green light to go on a short drive. This brief trip outside Walter Reed as being safe after the proper precautions were taken, and they're saying appropriate precautions were taken in the execution of this moment, this movement to protect the president and all those supporting it, including PPE, the White House said in a statement. The movement was cleared by the medical team as a safe thing to do. It was safe to do it. Also, we find that a lot of precautions had been taken for that. The people anywhere near the president in PPE, protective equipment. Also, we saw the New York as well. There was a caravan of love. Hundreds of Donald Trump supporters gathered in Manhattan on Sunday morning, part of a flag-waving convoy to wish the president well as he continues his battle with COVID-19. A procession of around 100 vehicles packed Fifth Avenue outside Trump Tower, bringing traffic to a standstill as dozens of MAGA supporting motorists honked their horns, cheered, and waved Trump 2020 flags. Also, coming as part of the Triumph Rally, there was a group of people waving flags and chanting the president's name there as well. Been very interesting monitoring what has taken place with this, and some have said, why would the president go out? Why was it important? Is this some egotistical move? Well, I think Rick Manning from the Americans for Limited Government put it this way. He said the president made exactly the right choice when he left Walter Reed Medical Center to ride in an enclosed limousine so the public and the press could see him undaunted by the virus. By doing this, he ensured the world that the president of the United States was fully engaged in leading the country. With irresponsible rumors that the president's health was much worse than reality, it was essential for the country to know that the truth about his status. He went on to say this. He said this simple drive sent a message to China, Iran, and others that the president is in full control and threatening our allies will not be tolerated. Additionally, the financial markets are now reassured that there's no crisis in the executive branch. Sometimes being president means acting like the leader of the free world rather than hiding in one's basement. President Trump showed how a leader who understands the role of the president acts while his opponent Biden continues to cower in fear of the COVID virus. End of quote. That's from Rick Manning, but said this is an important message to get out to the world. And there was a lot of mixed messages coming through the media. We'll have some more on that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, any new dinosaur extinction theories?
Of course, Chris. There's always a new theory. Here's a new one. We all know that methane gas can be deadly at high concentrations. Methane gas is found in gases exuding from deep inside the Earth, and it's proposed that a huge methane belch of gas came up from the Earth's mantle, spread out over the land, and killed off all the dinosaurs. Well, that's convenient. That's the kind of theory you can't prove one way or the other. But here's something else to think about. The dead dinosaurs are all found in water-deposited strata. They're not just laying on the surface of the ground having been poisoned by methane gas. They were buried by water. I think it's the Great Flood of Noah's Day. That flood may have included a lot of methane, but it was primarily a water flood. That's the evidence we have. It all goes back to Genesis.
Thank you, Dr. John. This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, as today we're talking about the President Trump's battle with COVID. And Saturday, he said he's feeling much better. I think he'll be back soon. Yesterday, the president took a brief trip by motorcade to show appreciation to the many who came to the hospital and show support. Many in the media aghast at such a move. The White House assured all took precautions. From the Twitter of the House Judiciary, saying GOP, CNN, not worried about COVID-19 during mass protests and riots, but very worried about it when the president rides in a car. Very interesting observation there. Well, as Rick Manning pointed out, it was important for the world to see that the president was up, was doing well, was in control, and to see him, and a lot of mixed messages coming through the media. I'm going to share with you one item here that came from newsbusters.org. They write that with CNN's glee at seeing President Trump hospitalized with COVID-19 and other media outlets whining about him getting the best medical care possible, it's hard for one to imagine which outcome they would relish. Adding to that notion on Sunday that the media panel for CNN's so-called reliable sources almost said the quiet part out loud when New York staff writer Masha Gessen likened the mixed messages to Trump's health to the misinformation put out during the death watch of Soviet minister Joseph Stalin. Now, folks, and this is what was going on. And these kind of critics that were out there talking about this is nothing more like, you know, we're told one thing, but there's other things really going on behind the scenes. Let's listen to this clip right now from this media panel from CNN, but likening the health of the president to Stalin's demise.
What do you see happening in America right now with a country unable to know what to believe about the president's health?
Well, you know, Brian, there have been a lot of comparisons to the Soviet Union in the last couple of days, and I think they're not unwarranted. The particular period that I'm thinking about is something that I've written about a lot, which were the days of Stalin's death watch, right? When the foreign correspondents and the domestic correspondents, such as they were, all knew what was going on. Nobody was giving them any information. Everybody was expecting the final call, right? And the planet filled with rumor. And the thing is, it's not so much what we are being told by White House officials or by the doctors. You can actually create a reasonable narrative from all the things that they have put out there. It is the palpable sense that people are not speaking, that there are withholding information. And of course, the sense of total lack of credibility that's been established over the last 4 years.
Right. And that's the backdrop for all of this.
Yeah, the backdrop for all of this, okay? It's like Stalin's demise here. You know, what are we not being told? And this is why, again, Rick Manning is pointing out that it was important for the president to be out there. Coming from the Daily Wire, left-wing critics of President Trump cheered the news on Thursday night that the president, First Lady Melania Trump, and the White House advisor Hope Hicks had all tested positive for COVID-19. This evening, the president talked about his having a positive test result. And then he said the White House medical team and I, this was Dr. Sean Conley, said that he will maintain a vigilant watch, appreciate the support provided by some of the country's greatest medical professionals and institutions. Several Trump critics quickly reacted online, some saying that they hope Trump dies a painful death and mocking the president. Writer Alex Blegg tweeted out, just a quick note of support for Hope Hicks and President Trump. I hope they both die. Daniel Golson from The Roadshow tweeted out, quote, I don't feel bad about hoping he dies because I've been hoping that since 2015. And then there's a Black Lives Matter activist, Danielle Mosquito, tweeted out, I'm not one to laugh at other people suffering, but ha, 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 burn in hell, and then an expletive after that taking place. There is film director Michael Bonfiglio tweeting out, I hope Trump's diagnosis wakes his supporters up to the reality of the pandemic and also that it makes him suffer and die. Former Green Party presidential nominee Jill Stein tweeting, first thought, I wish a speedy recovery to the human being buried deep inside the racist, xenophobic fascist. Second thought, maybe now Trump will start taking action on the pandemic, not holding my breath. Ilhan Omar attacked President Donald Trump late on Friday afternoon following the president's positive test for COVID, saying that he was actively spreading a deadly virus and that he was a risk to public health. She made the attack in a statement posted to her official government Twitter account, where she began by noting that her father had died of the virus. This is from Daily Wire. And then went on to say, their cruelty is a direct threat to my constituents. This week, the president held a rally and fundraiser in Minnesota, flouting the guidance of his own health agencies by failing to wear a mask. In doing so, he exposed hundreds in a state that is already suffering from an uptick in cases. And then concluded this way, saying the president of the United States and Republicans in Minnesota are actively spreading a deadly virus. They are a risk to the public health of my constituents and our country. She also criticized Joe Biden for his campaign efforts to lighten up on his ads against Trump over the weekend. And she said, why would Biden delay or suspend his campaign when we know Trump wouldn't have had ads up by noon today ridiculing Biden for testing positive? Get it together. And very interesting and thoughts here. Former Vice President Biden did send this off, saying, Jill and I send our thoughts to President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump for a swift recovery. He wrote that out on Twitter. We'll continue to pray for the health and safety of the president and his family. Well, today the news came that Kayleigh McEnany, the press secretary for the president, revealed that she has tested positive for coronavirus and will start the quarantine process. Saying this after testing negative consistently, including every day since Thursday, I tested positive for COVID-19 on Monday morning while experiencing no symptoms, she said in her statement. And there have been some others as well. This morning, President Trump didn't waste a whole lot of time as he hit to Twitter. First thing this morning, his third day in the hospital, at least 18 tweets in rapid succession explaining what's at stake in the upcoming election. And although the he's been in the hospital, he's made his views very well known on Twitter. Batch of 18 he took to this morning, sending out peace through strength. Bring our soldiers home. Vote. Save our Second Amendment. Vote. Fight the corrupt fake news media. Vote. Pro-life. Vote. And on he went with additional ones there as well. The Commission on Presidential Debates reportedly has changed its planned spacing format for the vice presidential debate that is to happen this week, following health and safety objections from the Biden campaign. So his campaign took issue with the plan to place Vice President Mike Pence and Senator Kamala Harris 7 feet apart at the Utah debate. And instead, it's reported that they will now be separated by a distance of 12 feet. Between the two candidates. The North Korean leader Kim Jong-un Friday sent well wishes to President Trump over the diagnosis. And this I found very interesting as well. And this is the Fox News Channel host and registered Democrat. This is coming from Todd Starnes. Fox News Channel host and registered Democrat Chris Wallace. He was the fellow who moderated the debate last week. He harangued Trump campaign advisor Steve Cortes during an ugly appearance on Fox News Sunday. Wallace yelled at Cortes and continuously interrupted him while he was trying to answer the host questions. Listen to this exchange.
Not apply to them.
No, that's not the reality. Look, everybody was tested before that event, as you well know. Those of us who went first were tested by Cleveland Clinic directly. Everybody who gets on Air Force One for any trip on Air Force One is tested before they get on.
Steve, it doesn't matter. Steve, it doesn't matter. Everybody that was in that room was tested. Steve, everybody that was in that room was tested. And the Cleveland Clinic's regulation was it didn't matter. Everybody except for the three of us on the stage was to wear a mask, and people from the Cleveland Clinic came over and offered the first family masks, thinking maybe they didn't have them. They were waved away, and the Commission on Presidential Debates has issued a statement saying, from now on, if you don't wear a mask, you're going to be escorted from the hall. So forget this question of being tested, Chris, beforehand. Everybody was tested beforehand. No, I'm going to finish my question.
Isn't that interesting? I'm going to finish my question.
And, everybody was told to wear a mask. Why did the first family and the chief of staff feel that the rules for everybody else didn't apply to them?
Chris, we believe that masks are very useful. The president has worn them on many occasions, including visiting the hospital where he's now a patient. When he was visiting as commander-in-chief as a guest to visit soldiers there, he wore a mask. So we believe in masks. We also believe in some element of individual choice. People were distanced and they had been tested. Both of those things were true in that convention hall.
No, Steve, they weren't distanced and there were rules and there was no freedom of choice. They broke the rules.
Chris, I was there. I was there like you were, and they were distanced.
Why did they break the rules?
Those chairs were not close together. Look, those chairs were not close together. And again, we also believe that people.
It doesn't matter, Steve. The rules from the Cleveland Clinic, they were close together, Steve. And the rules from the Cleveland Clinic were everybody wears a mask. Why didn't they?
Chris, the way you're starting to harangue me now actually reminds me of what you did to the president during that debate on Tuesday night when
I harangued him.
No, and then he had to debate not just Joe Biden, but you as well. You were not a neutral moderator then. I don't mind tough questions. I welcome reasonably tough questions, but what I don't think is okay is for you to become the effective opposition to the president. Okay? And everyone there was tested in the crowd. They were distanced from each other. People can make reasonable decisions for themselves.
No, they can't. They're the rules, and they'll be kicked out next time. Steve, let me just simply say the president interrupted me and the vice president 145 times, so I object to saying I harangued the president. I know it's the talking point.
Okay, so there we had the exchange take place yesterday with Chris Wallace and Steve Cortez, advisor for President Donald Trump. Another interesting story that came out on this issue from Western Journal, two House Republicans are accusing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of blocking COVID testing in the House. Calls for Pelosi to come as Senate Democrats are invoking the potential spread of the coronavirus on Capitol Hill as a reason to delay the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Scalise said, I mean, these protocols have been there and the testing capabilities have been out there for a long time. They were offered to the speaker and she turned it down. I think it's something that should have been in Congress for a few weeks now, but ultimately that's what the speaker decided to do, he said. On Friday, we have Rodney Davis of Illinois, the ranking Republican on the Committee on House Administration, saying that Pelosi should quit stalling and implement testing for House members, saying, I'm writing again today to reiterate my concern that we do not have a comprehensive health monitoring system and testing program for our Capitol Hill campus in order to help us do our part to stop the spread of coronavirus. Davis wrote in a letter to Pelosi, I have stood ready to engage with your office from my counterpart on the Committee on House Administration for months, but my requests have gone unanswered. While I appreciate that the attending physician has been able to conduct COVID-19 testing for members who have symptoms or have been exposed, provided very limited staff testing, and advise offices on contact tracing, our ability to monitor the health and safety of the House is severely lacking because you have failed to implement a plan. Now, hasn't it been Nancy Pelosi talking about the Trump administration not having a plan? And they're saying we don't have a plan for the House of Representatives here. And haven't we always heard Nancy say test as being so critical in all of this? Well, we understand that there's been a move by Chuck Schumer to try and delay the hearings going on as well for the Supreme Court nominee. Mitch McConnell is committed to have those go forward. I'd like to open phone lines. Maybe you have some general reaction to the matters that are going on. Again, President Trump scheduled to be released this evening from Walter Reed. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your thoughts on what's transpired over the past few days. 800-733-9829.
Scripture says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're reminded from Genesis that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Christ also spoke of impending wars, ethnic conflicts, spiritual deception, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. It sounds like today's newspaper headlines, yet many people are oblivious to the times in which we are living. In the book, It Could Happen Tomorrow, Dr. Gary Fraser presents future events that will shake the world. He writes of the Great Disappearing, America in Prophecy, the birth of the New World Order, the Islamic invasion of Israel, the Great Deceiver, a global religion, the temple rebuilt, the mark, and the glorious appearing. The book presents both a message of hope to those who know Christ as Savior, as well as a message of warning to those who do not. It Could Happen Tomorrow is available for a donation of $15 or two copies for a donation of $25 by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, even on CNN, the statement was made here over the weekend. This may be the most dangerous moment in U.S. government history. I mean, the rhetoric that was coming from those even gloating over the president having COVID. But this is, Sam Vinegard claiming that the president's diagnosis could be the most dangerous moment that the U.S. government has ever faced? He said no word on the newsbusters said no word on the Civil War or the Cuban Missile Crisis or four presidential assassinations or September 11th or two world wars tested American or government less. But no, this could be the most dangerous moment that the U.S. government has ever faced. Let's go to the phone lines here to see what you have to say on the issue. Our lines are packed. As soon as you hear somebody hang up, that's your opportunity for your participation. Let's go to Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, my rebuttal to the blatant hypocritical Nancy Pelosi in regard to Donald Trump's COVID-19 is, and again, tongue-in-cheek, is anybody can have a bad hair day. I mean, who is she kidding? I wonder if the temperature taking is actually over her head when it comes to whether they are actually taken as being COVID-19 positive. That's my comment.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Let's go next to Marie in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment about President Trump's little visit to his supporters yesterday outside of the hospital, and I think it's so encouraging. You know, his supporters I need my president, and my president needs me. So it was pretty obvious for myself, I was very disappointed and worried about him, of course, getting the COVID, and Mrs. Trump also. But several things have happened is that when he came out and did his little parade around the area, it was very obvious that his supporters needed to see him, and he needed to see them, because I say us, because we need to encourage one another, right? We uphold each other, and that's what Christians do. And the other thing, and I'll be quick because I know we have tons of callers, is that now because of him contracting this illness, it gives the medical community and his staff, I guess medical staff, the opportunity to test some of these drugs that the Democrats have been so opposed to, and seeing that, yes, these other forms of treatment do work. So that's all I have to say, and thanks so much for all your programs.
Well, thank you, Marie. And next to Phil in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hi, Phil, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what people want Trump to do. I mean, with this virus, I mean, I think, in my opinion, it's a terrorist act that they infiltrated into the world. And I mean, what do they want? They want Trump to get on the horn and say, "Look, it's a terrorist activity. There's nothing we can do." I mean, freak people out even more. I mean, of course, he's the head boy. He's got to lie. He's got to say, "Hey, it's not that bad. We'll get through this." And hurrah for the USA. I mean, what else can the guy do?
Okay, thank you, Phil, for your observation on that here. Today, getting your reaction to the things that have transpired over the past several days since it was announced early Friday about the president and Mrs. Trump testing positive for COVID-19. Your reaction here, George in Cadott, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Nancy Pelosi needs to stop and think that she was running in and out of businesses in California without a mask on. And frankly, from what I've seen with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, basically the Democrats, my own personal opinion, and I'm opinionated, they need to build a bridge to get over themselves. Thanks.
Thank you, George. John, in Berga, Michigan, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. It's got a 99.97% rate of survival. These people are acting like it's the end of the world, or maybe they wish, as a few people, I guess, on Twitter the other day, they were hoping this man would die and everything. It's like, I don't know what he ever did to anybody. I also have a 92-year-old aunt, and she said they never went through anything close to this during the polio in the 1950s. This is just, the press is unbelievable. I don't know how this man takes so much hate. Thank you for your program and your ministry. Thank you.
Thank you for your call here today as well. And again, friends, we were having news articles that were coming out. What was it, Associated Press? This was in papers and sources all over the country just talking about, okay, what happens if the president dies or a candidate dies during a campaign? And what happens if a candidate or the one who wins the nomination between the day of the nomination and inauguration day, or when the House makes that, you know, final vote here based upon the Electoral College, or what happens here? And putting, I mean, you see half-page newspaper articles on all the what-ifs in regard to this, and those that were wondering, you know, the most dangerous moment in history right now, and that the president may not be incapacitated now, but who knows, maybe later, maybe this is going to do this. And yes, indeed, people have died from COVID. Of course, there has been a number, the vast majority, I think the CDC said 94% of deaths have been comorbidities. 6% of people who have died of COVID have died of COVID, not with COVID. And so all of this takes, you know, factors. There are people who die from it, and precautions need to be taken. I mean, proper hygiene is so necessary. But let's hear more of your reaction. Let's go to Florida. And Liz, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to say I think this is going to work together for good, because I think President Trump is going to beat this with no problem and real soon, and people are going to start, all those cities that are locked down, they're going to see the president out and doing fine, and they're going to start wondering, what are we locked up for? Why is everyone freaking out? Why is my business closing down? When this man, you know, how old is he, 74? 76? And he's fine within a few days and feeling fine, no more temperature. So that's what I think, and that's all I have to say. And thank you for your radio show.
Thank you for listening. Thank you. Gary in Mesa, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you very much for your program, too. I can't get along without it. I think that you mentioned something earlier about the hypocrisy of masks not being worn by rioters and BLM, who has actually killed more blacks than the police. I think it's interesting that people who wish him doom are by far the most vitriolic and indolent individuals that ever drew breath. Hooray for the president. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for your call. Marie in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, my son asked me a question yesterday, and I didn't know the answer to it. Do any of the Democratic, you know, law people or whatever, you know, any of the officials, they test positive. He wanted to know if any of the Democrats have tested positive for COVID.
Any into the Democratic leadership? I don't.
Yeah, the leadership.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm not having any come to mind right now here, Marie.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Now, there have been other world leaders that have had COVID as well. We think of the president of Brazil being one, and the prime minister also of the UK, as well, of Britain, I should say. Let's go next to Lori in Michigan. Lori, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I guess my call was similar to the one before, but I find it very strange. It seems like only Republicans seem to have these all kinds of issues. Like they had that big shooting in Nevada. They had that out at the ballpark. They had the shooting. Seems like it's only Republicans getting sick. And I really believed from the beginning that this was a bioweapon, that China had planned to weaken us as a nation, because that had been what they had stated, one of their generals stated years ago. And so I'm really suspicious that they got Trump sick and his wife, and that they have been targeting the Republicans, because there's no reason why it's only Republicans that are getting sick. And so that's just my opinion, and I hope I'm wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised. These people are so hateful, I wouldn't be surprised.
Thank you for your call, and I'm confident in the widespread issue of the virus that there are people who would have political persuasions of all types, but as far as the leadership is concerned, as we have seen, that would be the case as we know it right now. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Marilyn in Lincoln, Kansas, you're on the air.
I have not heard anyone else discuss this. Heard Chris Wallace just a few minutes ago on your a tape you had of it. Mm-hmm. Wanted to point out that President Trump was given the very, very first question of the debate, after which Chris Wallace told him, you now have 2 minutes to answer. And he did not get 2 minutes to answer. Biden interrupted him during his answer, and that was what started all these interruptions. And Chris Wallace said absolutely nothing at that point to stop the interruption. Now, Biden started the interruptions. That's never been pointed out by anybody.
And I should say, Marilyn, from what I recall, I believe, or from what I recall from the debate, that it was President Trump that made the first interruption when Biden started referring back to President Trump's rebuttal there. But nonetheless, there was a lot of interruption that was going back and forth.
I think people need to listen to the debate from the very, very beginning to catch that on the very first question, Biden interrupted him.
Okay, thank you, Marilyn, for your thoughts there. David in Chandler, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hello there. This is the best program of its kind. Real quick, so everybody gets a chance. That Ginsburg lady died, and they said her last wishes were to have not to get a judge until the end of the election. What if Trump, God forbid, would have been an hour away from death yesterday or today, and he would have said, well, my last wish is for a Republican president. Would they have honored their principle the same way?
Interesting thought. Thank you, David. Now let's go to another David in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. The thing that blows my mind with this whole thing is the fact that I'm sorry, I'm getting thrown off by the...
Yeah, don't listen to your radio. There's delay on the radio, yeah. Listen to the phone.
Anyway, sorry about that. I hear people blaming Trump, you know, that he's infected other people because he didn't wear a mask. How do you prove any of this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a microscopic virus. There's no way we can track the source of it back to a certain person because they did or did not wear a mask. I mean, this is just total ludicrousy. It's like, are we that stupid? The masks don't work anyway, and I think if the church doesn't wake up, they're basically going to start shutting our doors and say you're not in compliance. And I think this is basically a time for people in the churches to say, we cannot bow the knee to this thing. You know, and you hear people talking about, well, it's against the law that they're not wearing the masks, and it's like, what other laws are they going to start to enforce on us to where we're going to give up everything in pursuit of being good United States citizens, according to their view?
Thank you, David, for your thoughts on it. Appreciate so very much and the variety of opinion on the topic here today in giving you opportunity to weigh in, especially since the positive diagnosis of the President and First Lady this past Friday. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 1-800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. We'll pick up our next calls right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Many Americans see what's happening in the street as a single issue. It's not just anarchist, Marxist, agitators, Black Lives Matter protesters and rioters in the streets. It's highly organized by enemies within and enemies without. It is overwhelmingly documented that Black Lives Matter is tied back to pro-Maoist Chinese groups. It's documented that one of their founders, well, admires greatly the dictator, the Marxist dictator of Venezuela. One of them has been mentored for 10 years, it's reported, by Eric Mann, formerly with the Weather Underground, who, again, praised the Maoist Communist Chinese. Freedom Road Socialist Organization is a Maoist Communist Chinese front group. We have pressure from above with politicians that are Marxist in their worldview, pressure from below at the street level, enemies without and enemies within. It's all leading to a great conflict.
Well, just as this program was getting underway this afternoon, there was a news briefing taking place at Walter Reed. And during this news briefing, within this current hour, the president's Dr. Conley said that the president would be discharged this evening. And he said this quote, "The president may not entirely be out of the woods yet, but he said that his clinical status supports the president's safe return home, where he will be surrounded by medical staff 24/7. He added that the president met most of the discharge requirements on Sunday afternoon. "We try to get patients out of the hospital as quickly as possible. There is nothing being done here that we can't safely do at home." So continue to be praying for President and Mrs. Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Ann calling in from Milwaukee. Hi, Ann. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. First of all, I just wanted to give this note. As I'm 62 years old, and nowhere in my life have I ever heard such open and total disrespect for a president of the United States. I just can't understand it. And number two, getting back to what you were saying about people, wishing the president death and so forth, that just goes to show the scripture, the heart of man is evil, and who could know? I mean, people are so evil deep down, and who knows what evil thoughts they might have towards the president. It's just terrible, and I pray for the president and those that are surrounding him, and God bless you and your staff there at ECY. I appreciate your show and keeping us informed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate your call. I just want to interject something else here, friends. If you appreciate this program, as some of you are saying, hey, we really thank you for Crosstalk, would you be sure that you support the stations that bring you Crosstalk? I think, for instance, of our friends over at Rejoice Broadcast Network. Rejoice Broadcast Network is right now holding their share-a-thon. And those of you who listen over Rejoice, one of the ways that you can say thank you for Crosstalk is by picking up your phone and contacting them with your pledge. Let them know how much you appreciate this program. They provide the airtime for Crosstalk to air. They provide the airtime for you to be informed. And just a special word to those of you listening over the Rejoice Network, get behind Rejoice with your gifts during their share-a-thon, and let them know how much you appreciate Crosstalk. Let's go to Charlie next in Lodi. You're on the air, Charlie.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I'm quite sure in my heart, as we pray for our president, that he'll be just fine. As far as these masks go, I saw this movie Saving Private Ryan, and being a veteran myself and so many men for this country face certain death. And now we're a nation that's afraid of the flu. I'd like to ask your listeners, what kind of people have we become? Thank you. That's all I got to say.
Thank you for your call. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. They say as the odds of Trump and his surrounding cabinet knows it got the COVID, the odds were as high as 168 million to one that only them came down with that COVID. And another thing is Bill Gates is on tape 3 years ago saying about depopulation and using vaccines to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to share that. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you. Merle Shirley in Richland, Washington, you're on the air.
Yes. My husband and I live in a senior facility, and there were three couples here that one of the mates got the virus and the other mate did not. Now, if it is so contagious, why didn't we, my husband got it, I didn't. The other two couples the same way. And I guess that's my question is why then, how can you say it is that? I know that they're saying that, and I have had that question. Why mm-hmm. didn't I get it, same as my husband? And the other couples the same way.
Yeah.
And I fully support this president, and I just wish that, with all my heart, that people would respect our president.
Thank you, Shirley.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, as an answer to your question, though, I don't have training in medicine, so I'm not able to answer that, but interesting observation there. 800-733-9829. Let's go to Partyville. Phil, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to explain my idea. What happened here is at the nomination for our Supreme Court justice, I believe the Democrats had a highly contagious person mingling in the crowd, and that's why only the Republicans are coming down to this.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll just put it that's your assumption. Certainly, this was held an event at the White House, and they're still trying to track down what the source was. Some talking about the preparation for the debates and so forth as well. Justin in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for everything you do. I was just going to comment on that Chris Wallace interviewing that chief of staff and then in the interview with the president or the debate. It's frustrating that with Fox News, that's the best we're going to get. It's just frustrating. There's no fair, unbiased people to handle these debates and things. That's my comment, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. John in Dallas, Texas, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That woman that called about the contagious with her husband, it brought to mind a friend of mine said that if you have a blood type that is a blood type of O, that you're immune.
Yeah,
to the,
is your friend
virus.
In the medical possession profession?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Have you not heard that if
I don't have a background in medicine, and I have not interviewed a doctor on that aspect here, so I certainly want to be very cautious as to what information is given out there, John. But that was relayed to you by a friend who's in the medical profession, and thank you for sharing that. I've got just about out of time. Joe in Phoenix, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to address the question that the lady had, why she was affected differently than her husband. And it's simple. It depends on a person's immune system. Unless your immune system is identical to another person, you're going to respond differently. There's been many cases where, in fact, my mother had zero symptoms, was not affected by the virus, whereas my father, who lives with her, was affected severely.
Mm-hmm.
So it's as simple as understanding the way your immune system works.
Great. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for your call here today. And while the theme music is coming up, I'm sorry I don't have time for other callers online here, but thank you for your call during Crosstalk today. Folks, let's continue to be in prayer. Be in prayer for our president and the first lady as they continue the battle with COVID. He will be discharged this evening from Walter Reed, heading back to the White House, and be monitored there. Be praying for the leadership in both the House and Senate. These are very critical times that our nation is facing. And thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.